I guess we got here for the first night. Me and my wife, a little bit late. We had a little bit of difficulty getting over here. And the rain started, and we couldn't hardly see there a couple of times. But we walked in, and I never seen a church fill up so fast.
Amen.
Yeah, Lord, I walked in the restroom, wasn't hardly nobody here. I come out, I think I'm going to try that in my church. Amen. Walked in the restroom, come back out, and the church is full. Amen. Praise the Lord. But it's a joy to be here. I know preaching is the preeminent thing, but I'll be honest with you. After that singing tonight, I doubt if y'all could get any better than that. Amen. Not unless you got another preacher wants to preach it. I'd welcome him to be here right now. Amen. But thank y'all for letting us come. This is New Hope Baptist Church. I was in a New Hope Baptist Church last week preaching revival. Amen. So I feel like this is a continuation. Amen. Had the same spirit in it. Amen. Good singing in it. So the Lord let us get in on another week of that. Amen. All right. Turn your Bible, if you would, to 1 Samuel tonight. Very familiar chapter in the Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 17, if you'll turn there tonight. I'll tell you, choir, y'all did an outstanding job. That's absolutely tremendous, amen. Brother Cox, am I right on this? Your father pastored the church in Moxville, right? And of course, I was over Brother Couch's one time. Brother Couch, Sister Couch, about the only person I know, people I know here other than the pastor, amen. Now, some of y'all I've probably met before. I see a few faces I've met before. But I've never been to this church before, that's for sure. And so I thank y'all for letting me come. Amen. Amen. I don't really enjoy coming to church. I like that motel y'all put me in on. That motel was so nice, I started not to come to church. I mean, it had a basket in it. That is probably the greatest basket I ever seen in my life. I am telling you. Now, it's got cheese in it. It's got ham in it. I ain't never had a basket give me got ham. And it won't fall, right? It won't fall, will it? I'm not making jokes. It won't fall. It's in that pack, it won't fall. Amen. Man, I am telling you. If I can get me a stove, I'm going to cook it in the morning. Praise God. Well, I'm just trying to get adjusted. Amen. Now, I know you don't normally do this. Amen. Let me read my text, and then I'll say a few things. And I'm about as nervous as I can get. Amen. But this has been a joy to be here, I am telling you. Amen. Turn your Bible to 1 Samuel. That's a familiar chapter in the Bible. But we want to read it in chapter 17. If you'll stand with me one more time, I want to begin reading in verse 15. I do thank you for everything you've done in tonight's room and everything y'all have done. I'm looking forward to tonight, tomorrow night. We didn't get nothing else. We done been blessed. Amen. I pray y'all can understand me. Now, everywhere I go up north from South Carolina, they say they can't understand me. They say I talk different. I've never seen that, but that's what they tell me. And so if I talk different tonight, I pray the Lord will interpret it for you. Amen. Matter of fact, we talk so different down there where I am. A couple of our people went to California, and they was out there in California and said, we want to find out where San Jose is. They said, San Jose? They said, where are you from? They said, well, we from South Carolina. Said, we're looking for San Jose. He said, man, out here in California, it's not San Jose. The J is pronounced the H. He said, well, where is that? He said, well, it's such and such a place. And he said, by the way, how long y'all going to be here? They said, Hune and Hulie. So if y'all can't understand me tonight, amen, we'll get an interpreter for you, amen.
Yeah.
All right, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 15. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David, his son, take now for thy brother an ephah of parched corn and these 10 loaves and run to the camp to thy brethren and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000 and look how thy brethren fare and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to battle and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake concerning the according to the same words. And David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men
And David spake to the man that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth the Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, the eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride, the notice of thy heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner. It's very obvious. I want to use that little phrase right there to preach on tonight. When David said unto him, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Yeah. So I want to try to preach on that. Many preachers have preached on that, no doubt. But I want to try to use that phrase tonight to preach on, is there not a cause? Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for letting us be in church tonight. Our hearts have already been blessed and encouraged by the good singing. Not only good singing, but singing with a message. God has spoke to our hearts tonight. I'm so glad I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm glad I'm saved by grace. I'm glad I'm on my way to heaven. All because of what Jesus did. God, I want to be involved in the battle for right. I pray you'd help us tonight to preach with power and unction. God, may the word of God run tonight. Have free course, find lodging in our hearts, and bring forth fruit in our lives that you'd be glorified. If you'll do that, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Is there not a cause? I know you don't do it like this. I found that out in school, but what little bit of school I went to, and I know you're not supposed to do it like this, but I've been reading a book. I did bring the book in tonight. Somebody gave me this book. I was preaching revival, matter of fact, in North Carolina some years ago, and I've never seen this book. And the book is entitled This Day in Baptist History. And I'm sure some of y'all got it, some of y'all read it. But every day there's a devotion in that book that tells about one of our forefathers of the faith, of Baptist faith, and gives you a little bit of his life and story of how God used him greatly. Well, I know you don't supposed to do it like this. I know you get your text and then you get an illustration. But as I was reading that book, my heart really got moved and challenged, amen, about how our forefathers stood for the cause of Christ. They knew there was a great cause to stand for, amen. And I said, well, Lord, I need a message, or I need a someplace in the Bible that can help me preach on that, amen. And the Lord directed me to this text, is there not a cause? You know, I'm afraid sometimes we've lost that. I'll tell you, what we're doing tonight is not some fantasy. What we're doing tonight is real. Amen. There is a cause to stand for in these days. I'm afraid a lot of our churches have lost that. Amen. And so as I begin to think about that, amen, I begin to think about the word cause. And I looked up the word cause. Here's what I found. A reason or a motive or a purpose that urges us, that compels us, that moves us, that drives us, that creates an urgency, that creates a purpose in our life. Amen. I want to say thank God tonight. I found a cause to live for. I'm involved in the greatest cause in all the world. That's the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank God to be involved. Amen and amen. There is a cause, church. There's a cause, young people. This is not just something we just do just so. We're really involved in a cause, amen. I'm simply saying to us tonight, I found this to be true in the Bible. God's always doing more than what you can believe. Matter of fact, over there the Bible said God told Noah to build an ark for the saving of his house. He built an ark to save his house and save the world. God's always doing more than what you can unbelieve, amen. I'm glad for that, amen. God wasn't doing more than what I could believe, we'd be limited. And I'm glad God tonight's involved in what we're doing, and he can go beyond even what we're doing. Hey, I found this out. God's always doing more. Truth of the matter is, he called Paul to go into Macedonia. But when Paul went to Macedonia, it ended up in Europe, and it ended up from Europe in America. Had he not went that way, and the Bible said he obeyed the Holy Ghost, had he not went that way, I'll tell you what, we'd be the ones receiving missionaries tonight.
Hey,
David got involved in a cause. He said, is there not a cause? I looked that up to find out really what was behind that. David said, this is not just happenstance. I'm down here. He said, you may not really recognize this, but I am down here in the perfect will of God. God planned for me to be here. So there's a purpose for me to be here. I would say there's a purpose for you to be here.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
sure. Yeah, man. If you're saved tonight, God has a purpose for you. Now, you might be little insignificant in yourself, amen, or seemingly so, but God has a plan for your life. And he wants to involve you in the greatest cause in all the world. What is that? The cause of Christ. That day David went down there to fight, amen. He thought it was just a little skirmish, but it ended up saving his country.
Right. Yeah.
Had David not won that battle, I don't know what the outcome would have been. Are you listening? I said just tonight, we're involved in a great cause, the cause of Christianity. May I remind you, I was reading a study for this message. Audie Murphy, who won the Medal of Honor, was only 19. Audie Murphy, fighting for our country, won the Medal of Honor, one of the most decorated soldiers there's ever been. He won that medal when he was 19 years old. I say that to say this, young people, there's a lot for you to get involved in. You don't have to be old and go over the hill like I am, amen. Hey, get involved now, isn't it? I simply say the cause of Christ is the greatest cause in all the world. May I say the liberals have their agenda. The liberals are always vocal about what they believe. Goliath is a vocal man about what he believes. The liberals are always vocal. But it seems like the church is getting into hide. The pressure of the world and the bigness of the world and the wickedness of the world seems like it's pushed us in the corner. I say we ought to come out. Fight, amen. Amen. It's preaching you ain't big enough to fight. Well, David wasn't either. He's fighting a man about, I'll just round this off, all right? I don't want to exaggerate it. He's fighting a man almost 10 foot tall. Rest of the night, I'm going to call him 10 foot tall. Hey, he wasn't big enough to fight that man, but I'll tell you what happened. He got involved in a cause. Are you listening to me? Amen. Hey, the liberals always vocal.
Surely they are.
Amen. Hey, they could be a minority. When they get through, you'll think they're the majority. Why? Because they're vocal about what they believe. I say it's high time the church get vocal. Yeah, man. We don't need to back in the corner. Amen. Hey, we need to be vocal about what we believe. I say that to say this. Our soldiers are fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan tonight. Why? There's a cause. The cause of freedom. Amen. I say that to say this. I was preaching sometime a while back, and a wife of one of the soldiers was in Afghanistan at that time. And I was preaching on the home that night. And she come to me after the service, me and my wife, with tears in her eyes. And she was telling us about how her husband was overseas fighting and not even knowing he was going to get back home. Amen. I'll tell you something swelled up in me. Amen. I said, if he do that for his country, we ought to do that for Christ. Amen. Amen. We are soldiers of the cross. Seems like we've lost that. Somebody help me now. Seems like we've lost that in our Christianity. We're soldiers of the cross. Amen. Thank God. I'll tell you what. Do you know how I found this out of study? The Philistines was on Israel's territory when they were fighting there. Hey, the world has walked right in the church. It's trying to take over the church. Hey, I tell you, Goliath was on Israel's territory when he was defying our God. I tell you, a lot of our churches tonight, pretty apparent this one ain't having that happen.
Go ahead.
A lot of our churches tonight have let the devil walk right in our church.
Come on. I
tell you, I'm just determined by the grace of God. Amen. The devil's not going to take
me. Come on.
Amen. I'm going to stand up like a soldier of the cross and fight that very day. Amen. I'm simply saying to us tonight, I've been reading a book on radical Christianity. I read this book and then I read a book on radical Christianity. If I could keep my church before I finish reading all these books, I'd be all right. Amen. I mean, it's hard to read this book, what our forefathers died for. And then they get a call on Sunday morning, preach, I can't come to church. I see some clouds. Hey, preacher, I can't come to church today. My little toe is hurt. And our forefathers have died for the cause of Christ. Amen. trying to keep a church reading this book. Amen. Somebody help me now. Hey, I was reading a book on radical Christianity. It's not even an independent Baptist author. I don't recommend that. But he's doing more for God than we are. And I'm an independent Baptist. And I think you ought to be a Baptist. But I tell you, the man's not even of our persuasion. But I'm telling you, he's taking a stand for God. Yeah, man, people are selling out. I tell you, people are giving their money. People are going to the mission field. He said we need to get radical in. The liberals are. Hello, y'all help me. I'm hoping it's going to get better. Hey, I ask you this. Why do we invest? Because there's a cause. Why do I give my money? There's a cause. Hey, why do I get involved? There's a cause. Hey, why do I get interested? There's a cause. Hey, why do I get inspired? When that choir, oh, God, y'all done got me fired up. Hey, when that choir gets up, I tried to hold back a little bit.
Go ahead.
Hey, when that choir gets up and starts singing like that, I tell you, it inspires me.
Yes, sir.
Why do I get inspired? There's a cause. Amen. Trying to get to my message, amen. There's a cause, amen. Hey, that day David went down to take that food to his brethren, he probably didn't think it was such a big deal. His daddy said, go down and see how your brethren fare. Take him a little bit of cheese. Well, I mean, a normal routine day. What big could come out of this? I don't even think he was expecting anything big. Bible said he did go down and shout for the battle. I think there's a message on that somewhere. Amen. Hey, he just went down there doing what his father told him to do. But I'll tell you, it was a big deal. I say that to say this. You say, preacher, what is all this getting up on Sunday morning, getting dressed, going to church? It ain't all that big a deal. I want to tell you something. It's a big deal. Half everybody got the attitude. It ain't all that big a deal. Amen. You ought to go like you're the only one going. You ought to get in the church and praise God like you're the only one going. Amen. If you don't like your preacher, just get up on the front row, egg him on and say, bring it on, Rev. Bring it on, Rev. He'll drop dead with a heart attack. You get it on. Praise God. Trying to get my message. Lord, help me. Amen. I want to tell you, it's a big deal, amen.
Yes.
Hey, somebody said it's better to die for something than live for nothing.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, I'm not, I want to tell you this, I'm not spending my life, I'm investing it.
Right.
Yeah. My brother's lost, amen. I'm trying to win my brother to God, and God has started. My brother's 70 years old, and he's got a lot of money, which don't matter. But I tell you, he told me the other day, he had a serious surgery the other day, only a bypass surgery. And he said, told me, looked at me, he said, after I found out money and everything.
That's right.
He got money and I got the mask.
Oh, heaven!
That's right.
I'm on your side.
I'm on your side.
Amen.
He's calling me now. I ain't calling him. Come pray for me. Come pray for me. I pray my brother gets up. He respects what I'm doing. Amen. As a matter of fact, sometimes he texts me and buys me clothes, amen. Said, I'm proud of you, brother. But he needs to get saved.
Right.
My brother told me this. He said, after all you preachers do is dress up and ride around and eat out. But every time I see you dressed up, riding around, and eating out. Said, is that all you preachers do?
Show him the rest of
it. You know, I thought about that a little while. Much as I dress up and ride around and eat out, I think he might be right.
Right. Amen.
Somebody help me now.
Amen.
I'm simply saying that to say this. He says, hey, you go, after you're running up and down the road, you're not that well, you're running up and down the road, spending your life. I said, Bubba, I ain't spending my life. I'm investing. I'm investing it in the greatest cause in all the world. Hey, God, don't feel sorry for me. Praise God. As a Christian, I have a cause, amen, to live for. Amen. You've heard this said, that's a good cause.
Yeah.
That's a worthy cause. Oh, we're involved in the greatest.
Yeah.
What is that? Well, we're involved in the cause for Christ's sake. Amen. I'm in the gospel for Christ's sake. I'm involved in the gospel of Jesus Christ for Jesus' sake. Amen. I'm involved for the gospel's sake. I've been reading this book. I read about a pastor named Humbar. I don't have time to give you a lot, but Pastor Humbar was a follower of the Reformation. And after he followed the Reformation for a while, he got on the doctrine of baptism. And he saw that the Reformation had erred from that or had not embraced that.
Right.
And so, I mean, he was well thought of. He was a theologian and a very intellectual man. And he began to tell some of his followers in the Reformation. He said, I found in the Bible that baptism is for believers, not infants. Right. Yeah. Well, he stirred up the Reformation. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he was in the in crowd, so to speak, of the Reformation. And so he began to teach that. Well, some of his followers in the Reformation began to take up his teaching of the Baptist stuff. And he formed a Baptist church. Oh, it stirred them up. They come down there and they said, you're going to recant of your teaching. Because he baptized 300 of his followers in the Reformation. And they said, you're going to recant. I mean, now the Catholic Church upset. And the Reformation's upset. And they said, you're going to recant of this teaching. He said, I can't recant what's in the Bible.
Amen.
So they put him in prison. I'm talking about our forefathers. Listen to me, young people. I'm talking about our forefathers. They put him in prison. And they put him on bread and water and tried to starve him to death. And they said, actually, when they'd bring the bread, he could only even eat the bread because he had dead people in the cells with him. And they said, if you recant, we'll let you out. He said, I can't recant. And so they about starved him and starved him and starved him. And finally one day they come to him and he was so weak in body. They said, if you'll recant, Pastor Humphrey, we will let you out. He said, well, if you'll, I'll retract a few things. They said, all right, we're going to bring you up to the big auditorium. I tell you, all the dignitaries are going to be there. The place will be packed and jammed. And we'll have you speak to them and recant because he was such a leader. And so he got up there. He was weak in body. I mean, almost unto death. And his wife also was following and saying, don't you recant. His wife saying, don't you back up. Amen. Been our wives, they'd have said, now you know, if you die, I ain't got no insurance. Y'all help me now. His wife said, honey, don't you back up. Don't you recant. You stick with what you believe. He got there, he was so frail in body. And I mean, hey, one of the leaders of the Reformation stood up, gave his dissertation on infant baptism, and he said, now Pastor Homer is going to come and tell you all about some things that he has come to see. He was wrong. And he said he began to walk to the pulpit. And as he walked, it's all in this article, he said, as he began to walk to the pulpit, something come on him. I think I've had that happen a few times. Amen. Not as much as I'd like. But he said he looked out with that big crowd with all those dignitaries. And he looked at them. And he said, with all the strength he could muster up, he said, baptism, infant baptism is of the devil. Oh, he said that place come unglued for him. They grabbed him, jerked him out, put him back in prison. And they said, if you don't recant of that one more time, we're going to burn you at the stake. He said, I can't recant something that the Bible says it's true.
Right.
And they took him out. They took him out with his wife saying, don't recant. Don't recant. And they took him out and they put gunpowder and sulfur in his beard. And said, one last time, Pastor, or we're going to ignite it.
Preach it, brother.
He said, he lifted his hands to heaven and said, in the name of Jesus, I believe what I'm talking.
Praise the Lord.
And he lighted his beard. He put his beard on fire and he suffocated the sulfur going up his nostrils. 3 days later, they took his wife out and drowned her in the river. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm telling you, church, don't get mad at me. I'm telling you, sir. I'm telling you, we've grown a meme.
Go ahead.
Yeah. We got weak.
Hey, there's a call. Our forefathers died. I mean, just one every day. I read about one of my Baptist forefathers that gave his life for the cause of Christ. Oh, you listen to me? I want to tell you there's a cause. It's for the gospel's sake. Amen. It's for righteousness' sake.
Yeah.
Hey, the church is the only organization on planet Earth that's dealing with symptoms. I mean, sources. Everybody else is dealing with symptoms.
Right.
Amen. You don't need AA. You need Christ. Hello. You don't need rehab. You need regene. Amen. The church is dealing with the source. Everybody else is dealing with symptoms. Amen. I say that to say this. It's for the cause of righteousness. The church is right.
That's right.
Amen. Hey, I'm glad, thank God, I'm involved in something that's right. It's the pillar in the ground of the truth. The Bible said that seems to be a de-emphasizing of the church.
Yes,
the most important organization or organism on planet Earth is the church.
Yes,
and you're not wasting your time to invest in it, to involve in it, to be in it. You're not wasting your time.
No.
Trying to get to the message.
Go ahead. You're right.
Hey, it's for the cause of Christ, righteousness' sake. It's for the word of God.
Yeah.
Thank God we got a book, 400 years.
Yeah.
Praise God we got a book.
Yeah.
We would not be here tonight if we didn't have a book.
Right. Yeah.
I was preaching, I don't know how I got there. I don't really know how. I'm a little country preacher from nowhere, honestly. You ought to see our town. I go to towns, and I mean, they got malls and Walmarts, and they say, this little rinky-dink town. I said, oh, God, if they knew where I'm from.
Yeah.
Motels. My little town, we got one stoplight.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Good.
I get in towns like this, I feel like I've arrived. Yeah, amen. I was preaching, and I got out of St. Stephen and went to Pittsburgh. I was preaching outside of Pittsburgh. And I was preaching there one night, and the preacher said, now tomorrow, he said, preacher, I'm going to take you over to where Billy Sunday's tabernacle was, just a few blocks from where you're preaching. And so we got up next morning. He took me over. Of course, that old tabernacle's torn down now, but he said that was the spot that Billy Sunday preached on. Man, I've read a lot about Billy Sunday and tried to learn some things about Billy Sunday.
Sure.
He said, but let me tell you something more interesting than that, preacher. He said, that church that you're preaching in is an old Methodist church that we come up here and bought, and we've now turned it into an independent Baptist church. Mm-hmm. He said, that church you're preaching in, he said, Billy Sunday, where you're preaching revival, just about where you're standing, is where Billy Sunday stood and preached.
Mm-hmm.
I said, my soul. He said, let me tell you why. He said, in the tabernacles at night, there'd be thousands and thousands of people. But he said, in the morning services, he would bring about 500 or 600 men to that old Methodist church we were in. And he'd preach to them in the morning and get them jacked up to go to the service. And he said, just about the spot you're standing in, Billy Sunday stood there. I said, my soul. And we went on up the road a little bit and stopped to get something to drink. So I think it was, get something to drink. I noticed there wasn't selling no alcohol. I'm talking about up right outside of Pittsburgh.
That's unusual.
And I said, why ain't they selling alcohol in the store? He said, think about it, preacher.
Yes.
I said, you don't mean. He said, Billy Sunday preached there 100 years ago.
I'm up.
100 years ago, a man of God stood up with a Bible and preached against liquor. And 100 years later, they ain't selling it.
Praise the Lord.
Now every store is a junk joint. Hello, y'all help me. Hey, we walk right in and walk right out. Hey, y'all help me. Hey, I'm telling you, we're weak.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. We're weak. Just let's admit it. Our grocery stores are liquor stores, amen. 100 years ago, a man preached on it. He wasn't liked. Hello, Tokyo. Somebody help me. Yeah, man. What are you trying to say? Hey, we got a cause, the cause for right, the cause for the gospel,
yes,
amen. Hey, the cause for the word of God, and the cause for the glory of God. I'm glad I'm involved in a cause. Hey, what's going to be the result of our interest? What is going to be the result of our involvement? What is going to be the result of us and being inspired? People will get saved.
That's right.
Amen.
Right.
We stay involved, somebody's going to get saved.
Somebody.
Hello. Amen. We started a home in our church for men that are drunks and drug addicts and men that's getting out of prison. We started a home for them, amen. And we bring them in and preach the gospel to them. And I'm going to tell you what, somebody's going to get saved. Some have got saved. I say that to say this. Hey, if you stay with the cause, somebody's going to get in.
Yeah.
Had a lady been coming to my church. She married a man in my church. She's not of our persuasion, doctrine, but she married a man in our church. Y'all got that too, so don't look at me too.
Yes,
man.
Go ahead. Yeah, you go ahead.
Well, anyway, she sits on the second pew right behind my wife. And when I hit that doctrine that she don't believe, my wife in here say, I don't believe that. Y'all got some of them too.
Amen.
And so my wife said, sometimes you hit that. Amen. You hit that doctrine. She said, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Well, she's been sitting there for years. And for years when I hit it, she said she don't believe it. But I got a call. This has been back about 3 months ago, 2 months ago. I got a call. She's in the hospital. I mean, she's a nice lady. She's a lovely lady. She's 80-something years old. She comes out of church faithfully, but she don't believe some things I believe. And when I say something about it, she says she don't believe it. But she got in the hospital and was facing death, and she's told her husband, call the preacher.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So I went down to the hospital. I'm saying, if you stick with the cause, somebody's going to get saved. So I went down to the hospital. She's an intensive care ward. And I walked in. We got right to the point. She said, preacher, I'm facing death and I'm not sure I'm ready to go. That's what that doctor had to do to you. I said, she's nice. And I said, I'm just going to level with you now. I didn't come down here to play. I didn't come down here to get a false confession.
Right.
I know you don't do it like that, but I did that.
Right. Come on.
And I said, Brother Dyson, I'm just going to be honest with her now and tell her. He says, tell her, Red. Tell her, Red. He probably won't say that anyway.
That's right. Yeah.
So I said, Sister Dyson, first of all, you get saved, you got to know you're a sinner. The Bible said, all of a sudden, I give them the birth. She said, preaching, I know I do some bad things. I don't see myself like that. I said, you can't get saved.
You're right.
I told again, I said, all of sin comes short. There's none righteous. No, not one. I was just about preaching in the intensive care ward.
Go ahead.
She said, preacher, I don't see myself as that bad now. I said, you can't get saved.
You're right, sir.
You can't get saved, you get lost.
Right, sir.
I said, Ms. Dyson, the Bible said you're lost without God, and you got to get saved. I noticed my lips started quivering a little bit. She said, I see it. She said, I am a sinner. She said, I am lost. I said, now you can get saved. Make a long story short, she called on God right there in the intensive care and asked God to save her. The moment she got saved, Brother Cox, this is what she did. My wife was living. She said, I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. I was worried it was going to run us out of there. Amen.
And so we talk about a little bit of things, got some things set up. We talk a little bit. She right in the middle of the knockout. She says, I'm saved! I'm saved!
Hey, she got out of the hospital, went home. I went to see her at the house. I stepped in the door. She said, I'm saved! I'm saved!
Amen.
I'm talking about 82 years old when she got saved. 82 years old and filthy rich. I hope she gets so right she dies. Y'all hear me shouting down there in South Carolina? You know she got right to God. Yeah, that's what her size is. Is anybody listening? Hey, I've been praying. She's been very, very, very sick. Hey, she got out of church. I mean, got out of the hospital. Last Sunday, she walked in church.
Amen.
Lost 80 pounds. Amen. She's lost 80 pounds. She walked in the church. That's all she could do to get there. She's sitting on the second row. And she said, I'm saved.
Amen.
Hey, if you stick with a cause, somebody is going to get saved. Somebody's going to get help, amen. Hey, just stay with the cause, and I'll tell you, something's going to happen. I'll give you my message. I got to get to my message, amen. Hey, a cause, first of all, begins with a command. The Bible said in our text, notice this, chapter verse 20, the Bible said, and they took and went as Jesse had commanded him. Let me tell you how a cause begins. It begins with a command.
Right.
He did what his father told him.
Sure. Right.
Now, I'm not going to hit that point long, amen, but here's my point. He was obeying little things to get to the big thing.
Listen.
You will never get to the big things if you don't obey the little thing. Right. What was the little thing? Take this cheese and take it to your brother.
Yeah.
That didn't seem too significant, amen. But I'll tell you, before the day was over, the dust settled, I tell you, it turned out to be a big deal, amen.
Sure.
Hey, you've got to obey the little things to get to the big things.
Right.
Hey, I will tell you, Saul, hey, he got a David got anointed in chapter 16.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Say, I don't think Saul was ever intended to be the king.
Go ahead.
That's right.
Last first time you see Saul, he's chasing donkeys.
That's right.
Yeah.
Saul's out there chasing donkeys, they can't even find them. David had the shepherds on.
That's right.
Yeah. And God anointed him in chapter 16.
Yeah. Woo!
And the moment he got anointed in chapter 17, he gets involved in a call.
Yeah,
he promised never to get involved until he gets full of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Is anybody listening?
Go ahead.
Hey, I say, then he started doing the little thing.
Go ahead.
He probably could have said, man, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. Why am I taking cheese down there?
Mm.
Hey, because God's got a big deal for you.
Yeah.
Hey, get involved in the little things.
Yep.
I don't want to use myself. God knows I'm the least of the least. But I'm telling you, when I got saved, I tell you, I'd go down and the preacher didn't have to tell me to pull the grass up.
Right. Listen.
I just said, Mama, there's grass in the flower bed. The preacher had to say, I need somebody to pull the grass up the flower bed. I just saw grass in the flower bed. And it just said, I need seen as an assignment given.
Yeah.
Right. Amen.
Nobody had to tell me to pick up the off the church yard.
Right.
I didn't even do
this. You're running, Wayne.
That's good, preacher.
Hey, just do what you need to do, son. Glory to God. Yeah, man. That's he did the little thing, and then he got to the big thing.
Yeah.
We are living in a generation of preachers.
That's right.
They want to start off with big jobs.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I'm that old, but I'm telling you, some of us fellas, we started in old storefront buildings. Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Good preaching.
We didn't inherit big cathedrals and padded pews. Hello, y'all help me.
Exactly right.
Are you listening? My point is simply this. Hey, he got involved in the little things. God led in the big things. Number one, a cause begins with a command. Number two, a cause will consume you. Look in verse number 32. Verse 32. I ain't lost y'all, have I?
No.
And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of thy servant will go and fight with the Philistine. He's consumed. I'll tell you what, a cause will consume you. It don't matter how big it is. It don't matter how outnumbered you are. He's facing a man 10 foot tall.
Yeah.
But he's consumed. He's been anointed. And hey, somebody probably said, hey, David, he's too big to hit. David said, he's too big to miss.
Right.
Is anybody listening? A cause will consume. Hey, man, you don't care how big they are. I hate to refer to my past, amen, but to make an illustration. I remember when I was lost, I was at this place you ain't supposed to be.
Amen. After the dance was over, everybody got in the parking lot, and I'm 5'6", back then, about 150 pounds, I guess, soaking wet, and I'm worn that now, but it ain't none of your business. But anyway, I walked out on the porch, and everybody's in the parking lot, and the dance is over, and I was on the wrong spirit. Yeah. But this is what happened. I looked out at that crowd all over the parking lot, a big crowd. I said, I want to know who's the baddest, meanest fellow in the crowd. And some big old fellow stood up and said, well, I am. I said, well, take over, I'm leaving.
You know what I thought about it?
If we get in that wrong spirit, get brave.
Yeah.
Wonder what happens when we get on the Holy Spirit.
Right.
I tell you, you get filled with the Holy Ghost. You don't care. David said, who do you think you are, boy? Cussing my God.
Go ahead. Yeah, man. I'm telling you. You get involved in a cause, you get consumed. Yeah, man. Notice this. I remember I was playing basketball. I was lost again. I was playing against a fella 6'10". He played for the Citadel. His name is Jerry Vaughn. And Jerry Vaughn took the ball. He ain't supposed to do this. He's the center. He comes dribbling the ball down the court. Well, it wasn't no big deal. I just went up there and grabbed the ball. I mean, he's bouncing as high as my head. It wasn't a big deal. I just went up there and got the ball. Well, I grabbed the ball. He grabbed me and lifted me up there where he was. Amen. And when they grabbed me, two of my buddies on the team grabbed him. And when they grabbed him, I was lost there. When they grabbed him, I jumped up with everything I got and I kicked right back at him. You said you hit a fella 6'10", and my buddies is holding my hand. I tell you, every man, man, I tell you, I get a lick on the net on because I got a big brother. Yeah, man.
When you get consumed, it don't matter.
Yeah, man.
That's right. Oh, that's good.
Yeah, man. We need to get involved.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Hey, when a cause will consume you, a cause will give you courage.
Yeah.
Amen. Look at verse 24. Look at verse 24. The Bible said, all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were so afraid. David wouldn't.
Go ahead.
As a matter of fact, David walked down and said, who is that uncircumcised Philistine cussing my God?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, man. They're cussing God all around us.
Oh, that's
right. Right.
Go ahead. Go ahead, preach.
Amen. And we don't say nothing.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You said, preacher, if we said something cussing God, they'd knock our head off. Why do you think Paul got beat?
Yes. That's it.
Why do you think our forefathers died at the stake?
Go ahead. Come on now.
I'm trying to get in the reality.
Right.
Hey, they went to prison. They got beat because they stood against what was popular in the world. Right?
Amen.
I remember I was working in Charleston River Shipyard. And I had gotten saved, and they sent me to New Jersey to learn how to work on a piece of equipment called a chlorinator. And the chlorinator purifies the water. Well, out there at the lake, I'd have to go up there every now and then and work on the chlorinator. Well, there was a guy out there named Monty. And Monty was a retired Navy chief. And he had tattoos up and down his arms. He had tattoos on his knuckles. And I'm not exaggerating before God. This is the truth. He always wore his shirts cut off, tattoos up and down his arms, on his knuckles. And he walked like this. Had a beard come down. He looked like the devil. And old Monty come out there and he said, "Hey, what's that Coronado?" And I'm telling you, he cussed that Coronado to take God's name in vain. And I just got saved. It was like stabbing me in my heart. Right. He said, "That Coronado, I'm going to start working on the Coronado." And I was hoping he'd go back in the office. He followed me over there. And I'm down there working on the Coronado. And he's right over here in my ear. I couldn't even tell you my name. He's a cussing that thing so bad. And so I'm trying to fix it, couldn't fix it. And he's a cussing it for me. And all of a sudden, I looked at him and I said, "Where do you go to church?" I'm telling you, he almost said, he said, "Church, I don't go to church." I said, "I didn't think you went to church." I said, "I want to tell you something better than church." He said, "What's that?" I said, "When you die, you can know you're going to hell."
Yeah.
He said, "Do what?" I said, "When you die, you can know you're going to hell."
Yep.
He said, "I don't know nothing about that." When I was working out there, I had a government truck. I had to wait on the Coronado, amen, to run its cycle. I said, "Well, you sit in this truck here, and we'll talk about it."
Yeah.
I sat in the government truck, and the Lord's going to forgive me all this. I sat in that government truck. It was cold. The wind was blowing. The Coronado was running its cycle. And I said to him, I said, "Monty," I said, "I got a little Bible here to show you how you can know if you die, you're going to heaven." He said, "I want to know that." I pulled my Bible out. And I showed him in the Bible how you can know you can go to heaven when you die. Old knuckles, tattooed, arms tattooed, looked like the devil. He said, "I want to know that. I want to know that."
Yeah.
I said, "Well, you can know it." I read it out of the Romans Road, how you can be saved.
Yeah,
he said, "Preacher, when can I do that?" I said, "Anytime you want to." He said, "I can do it now." I said, "You can do it now. On God my time." That big old man down his head, call on God. Hey, we promise that we'll forgive
you. Right.
Yeah,
man. I tell you what David said, "Big boy, you ain't cussing my God." Y'all help me there, sir. I know it's easy to get brave in the pulpit, but I'm telling you what David said. "I'm tired of you cussing my God." Can't you put that up to date? Can't you imagine old Goliath saying, "Who do you think you are, punk?" He's 10 foot tall. He said, "I might be a punk, but I got a rock. When this day is over, I'll be a punk rocker." Yeah. Holy God. Somebody help me. Hey. Are you listening, church? There's a cause. Amen. I found this in a book. I wish I'd have come up with this. Look over there in verse 45. "And David the Philistine, and David say, and then said David to the Philistine, 'Thou comest to me with a sword and a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts.'" He said, "I'm coming in his name." Latter part of verse 46, he said, "All the earth may know that there's a God in Israel." He said, "I'm coming in his fame." He said the latter part of verse number 47, "For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." He said, "I'm coming to make a claim." I wish I'd have thought of that. I read that in a book somewhere. Amen. He said, "I'm coming in his name. I'm coming for his fame. I'm coming to make a claim." Hey, I'll tell you what, we're doing it for God's glory. Amen.
It ain't about us, it's about him.
Right.
I'm tired of you cussing my God. Amen. Amen. Yeah, amen and amen.
Amen.
He said that before he beat him. Tell you what the cause do, give you confidence.
Sure.
Yeah.
He said, "I'm making a claim. When this day is over and the dust settles on this hill, everybody's going to know God's God." They're going to know David didn't do it. They're going to know God did.
Yes, right.
Ain't that what we want, church?
Right.
Hey, we don't want to make a name for New Hope. We don't want to make a name for Brother Howe. We want to magnify and glorify our God. God did that. I'll be honest with you, church. I don't know what you think about this. I got my ideas about it. I don't think David, I know he practiced, I knew he was sharp in the city, but I'll be honest with you, I think God got a hold of
us. Absolutely.
I think he's supposed to practice, I think he's supposed to sharpen up, I think he's supposed to give everything to God, but ultimately, God's got to do it.
Yeah, right.
I think old David got that sling out, amen. And I'm telling you, he said, "I'm sick of you cussing God."
Yeah.
And I ain't for slang, but the Bible said he slang. I preach against slang, but he's slanging it. And I really believe this. I believe he could have slung it over there, and God could have killed him over there.
Yeah.
I believe God got a hold of that rock. And God said, ooh, wow, and hit it in the head.
Sure.
And he fell on his face. I preached the message one time on how to get a head. He ran up there with a sword. He pulled his sword out and cut his head off. He grabbed his head, went back to test it. I got a head. I got a head. I believe that. They come to David. They say, David, they say, Goliath's dead. We got to bury him. We ain't got nobody to sing in his funeral. You a good singer? He said, I'll sing in his funeral. Goliath's dead. And I got his head. And he ain't got nobody.
Glory to God. Amen. We got to get involved in a cause. Hey, God got a hold of that stuff. How do you know that? I preached the sinners on that side of the building, and God saved a church member on that side.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, I preached the lost people on that side, and God saved one on that side. God knows how to take that stone. Y'all help me, church. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm telling you, a cause will give you courage.
Amen.
Yeah, man. You'll do things you wouldn't do ordinarily.
That's right.
Amen. Hey, a cause will bring criticism. Get this point real good. I'm about through. Get this point real good. You get involved in the cause, you can be criticized. Now, I'm telling you what I found out. A lot of people can't take criticism. Young people, this is no disrespect to you. A lot of young people can't take criticism.
Right.
But if you get involved, you get heavily involved, deeply involved in a cause, you are going to be criticized.
That's right.
He's got his own family.
That's right.
Hey, his own. I'm taking kids off the camp meeting, got them jacked up, fired up, bring them back home, and mama put the fire. Why? Makes mama look bad.
That's right.
They'll criticize you because it makes them look bad.
That's right.
Yeah, hey, they can't have a child in their house fired up for God, and that's all they can do to get there on Sunday morning, but not even go. They'll put the fire. Woo, preach, Ram, preach. That's good preaching, amen.
That's good preaching.
His family criticized.
That's right.
I'll tell you what. I'll tell you the truth. His brothers judged his motives. Amen. Hey, Saul judged his means. And Goliath judged his might. Hello, y'all help me now. Hey, you're going to be criticized. If I say anything tonight, get this. If you get involved for the cause of Christ, you are going to be criticized. I'm in a little town, 2,500 people. 75% of us is black.
You're right.
Go ahead.
Are you listening?
Amen.
You say us.
Yeah, that's right.
You say us.
I'm telling you, here's what the word is. Don't go to like that in church. That's a cult.
Hello. It's a sad day in America when a Bible-believing church is called a cult. We are so far from God in America that now a Bible-believing church is a cult.
Go ahead.
Hey, the Muslims, they're all right, but Christianity, stand by.
Amen.
Go ahead. I ain't getting into no politics, but I think I'm just going to say it. Amen.
We got a place that acts like a Muslim.
Are you listening to me? And hey, they can get away with it, but we preach the Bible, and now we're a cult.
Amen.
Amen.
Right, brother.
What are you trying to say, preacher? You are going to get criticized if you stand for God. And I'm telling you, the nearer the coming of the Lord, the more it's going to be. I visited a girl just got saved. This girl just got saved 3 weeks ago. And I said, we've been praying for her for years. We've been praying for years. And she got saved. And she called me and my wife to come over there and talk to her. She said, this is what she told the pastor. She said, my husband is not happy that I got saved. And as a matter of fact, he said, if I make any more statements like I just made the other day, he said he's going to take the baby and leave me and classify me as going crazy. And she said, preacher, all I told my husband was, I've been reading the Bible, and I've been hearing the preacher preach, and I believe the Lord is coming soon.
Praise the Lord.
He said, if you make that statement one more time, I'm going to take the baby and leave you and try to get you admitted. Are you listening, church? I'm talking about a Bible preaching church is now cult. It's getting serious, friend. Yeah, man. If you stand for God, and you can just mealy mouth around, they ain't gonna say nothing. But if you can take a real good stand for God, just be expected, you're gonna be criticized. David was.
One side down the other.
I'm about through. A cause normally begins crudely. How does a cause begin? It normally begins crudely. I don't know one thing about New Hope Baptist Church. I may be even wrong. I'm going to tell you what. New Hope Baptist Church ain't always been like it is today.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Crocking on the floor, crocking on the pews. Right. It probably, if it's like our church and most churches that started, probably began very crudely.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right. Probably.
Yeah. Hey, a cause don't normally begin big. It normally begins big. A slingshot against a man got 150 pounds of arm.
Go ahead.
That's good.
You're right.
That's pretty
good. That's good preaching, brother.
Go ahead. Amen. Normally, a cause for God begins very crudely. Yes. And I know why. Because when it's all said and done, the dust settles, we can say God did.
Right.
Right. Amen. It wasn't how smart the preacher was. Hello. It was how big God was.
Yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't how dedicated we were. Right. It's how dedicated he is.
Right.
I say a cause begins crudely. And the only way I know to relate is where I am. We started a church. I went to that town to get a building. We ain't got nothing to really brag on. Everything there is God did it.
Amen.
That's all I'm bragging on. What little bit we got,
yeah.
God did it.
Yeah.
We went in that town. They told me, I tried to get a building. Nobody would give me a building. They said, we don't need another church in this place. Well, I ended up with a little lunch room that the school had closed down. And it closed a little lunch room down. And we ended up getting that building to meet in. And I'll tell you, it was very crude. The piano didn't work. The place was full of gas from the old stove back there in the back. Where they cook the meals and the crumbs on the floor full of roaches. I mean, you could cut the lights on, look like the whole floor moved. No, honey, not my wife is here tonight. She'd testify. I've been preaching before preacher, and them roaches would run out and look at me and do me like that. And I say, you need to get right with God. That's what you. I was killing roaches. They thought I was preaching. We was in church one night. One morning, we was in church. Had all broke up chairs. Amen. And we was all sitting in the chairs. I said, let's stand and sing. One of the chairs was flipping right down the middle. Had a visitor. She stood up. When she stood up in the chair, clamping on her dress, she stand there with her dress, a chair hanging on the dress. I said, let's all sit back down. I'm talking about crude for you. One day I was preaching the big old heavy school women. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. It probably weighed 100 pounds. Right in the middle of my message, there was a Catholic man, lady visiting one Sunday morning. Right in the middle of my message, I went around, bam! And then, rah! First time I ever had a woman shout about my church. Crude. Right in the middle of that. God said, I want you to go visit the doctor and invite him to come to church. I said, wait a minute, Lord. He's got 9 children. He said, that's why I want you to go. I said, Lord, you see now, Bill, they go to the Presbyterian church. They ain't coming to something like this. He said, go see the doctor. I said, Lord, I don't even want to do that. I grew up, my daddy was a town drunk. I felt inferior. I get inferior around rich people. Amen. He said, go see the doctor. So I went around the corner. He's got 4 bathrooms. And that ain't a big deal today. But back about 30 years ago, that was a big deal. He's got 4 bathrooms, 6 bedrooms. Amen. I grew up in a house where you could look through the tin and see the stars.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm telling the truth, brother. Hey, you can look through the floor and see the chickens.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Some of y'all know that.
Go ahead.
Man, I'm inferior. Hello. Go see the doctor. We did have a bathroom in every room, though.
About that big around.
About
30 yards behind the house.
Yeah,
that was the main bathroom.
No, no. Go see the doctor.
I said, Lord, I ain't want to go see the doctor. He said, go see that. So I went around there, knocked on the door. His wife answered the door. How you doing? I said, ma'am, I'm Pastor Willis. I pastor the church right around the corner. She said, I've heard about you. She said, come on in. I said, come on in. She said, yeah, come on in. I walked in, Pastor. This is the truth. They've got white furniture and they got a baby grand piano. I'm telling you, man, it was some kind of house. I sat down, she went up to the bookshelf, pulled off a book. She said, Pastor, have you ever heard of this man, D.L. Moody? I said, yes, ma'am, I've heard about D.L. Moody. She go back again, she said, how about this man, R.A. Torrey? I said, yes, ma'am, I've heard about R.A. Torrey. She said, I've got these books because I go to Presbyterian Church, and it's so dead and so dry, I have to feed my soul with other books. She said, I've heard about your church. She said, we're coming.
Yeah.
I said, you going to come to church? She said, yeah, my neighbor across the street, we're faithful members of the Presbyterian church, and she's dissatisfied, so me and her will come. I tell you what, next Sunday, here they come, walking up the street. They come to church, they come back, they come back, they come back, they come back, they join. Hey, she's got nine children. She's got nine children. I think I led about six of them to the Lord. Her son's in our church tonight, one of the greatest members I got. He met a girl in our church, married her. They got five kids. They play and sing guitars and fill. Hello! I'm God! I'm in that business! Hey, Scotty Cruden! Hallelujah! What's the offer? My God!
Hey, it ain't what we've got. It's what he's got. Amen. Amen. I say cause begins crudely. Amen. Are you listening to me, church? Hey, just the other day, last year, please, if you take this wrong, I'm going to ruin the message.
We started a home for men. We want to have an atmosphere where it could be like a farm-like atmosphere. And the county wouldn't let us have it out in the county because they said we couldn't put men on it to have it in the county. We bought 27 acres of land in the city limits. That church, that town, wouldn't let me have a building. Now we own 27 acres in their town. I hope they want some land.
Is anybody listening?
Yeah.
But I want to say to you tonight, it ain't about land, it ain't about buildings, it ain't all about that. It's about helping people get involved in a cause. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. People to get help. Just here recently. This man, I wanted this man to God. He's not a song leader.
I wanted him to God, him and his wife to God, years ago. Just in the last month, God has saved his son. God has saved his niece. God has saved his son, his nephew. God has saved the girl. And God, hey, in the last month, about five or six Moody's have been saved.
Wow. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Why? Because for 30 years, we stuck with the cause.
Yeah. Right. Amen. Yeah.
Just get involved in the cause and don't budge. Hey, church, get involved with your pastor. And don't budge. And everything will be perfect. And everything you will agree with. Just get involved and don't turn back.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Praise God. I'm three. I read this somewhere. According to aerodynamics. They say, according to aerodynamics, that a bumblebee can't fly. The way he's built, he ain't supposed to fly. But I also thought about this. He also can't read.
So he don't know he can't fly. I tell you, you getting wrapped up in the cause. You are doing new things. You didn't know you could do.
That's
right. Yeah. Amen. Is anybody listening? Is anybody listening?
Yes.
That old bumblebee flies, he said, I really think like it, but I don't know nothing about it. I'll tell you this church tonight, I'll tell you what, if we got united with the cause of Christ, amen,
yes,
I'll tell them what we're taking.
Amen.
Hey, preaching the old time God, like what the preacher said, I ain't going contemporary, I'm sticking with the old way, I'm going the old path, amen. Hey, still works.
Amen.
I ain't trying to use psychology to get people in. I'm just going to rabbi and preach and let God do the rest. You can't improve on old time Holy Ghost conviction. Amen and amen. Just get involved in a cause. Amen. The cause of Christ. Listen, I'm through. You say, well, preacher, I'm so little. I couldn't do nothing. Half David has said that. Thank God he didn't look at it that way. I say it's an opportunity for all of us. Abraham was too old, but he did it.
Amen.
Isaac was a daydreamer, but he did it.
Yeah.
Jacob was a liar, but he did it.
Yeah.
Leah was ugly, but she did it.
Amen.
Moses was a basket case, and he did it. Samson had long hair, and he did it. Rahab was a prostitute, and she did it.
Amen.
David had an affair, and he did it.
Amen.
A woman at the well had five husbands, and she did it.
Amen.
Hey, John the Baptist ate bugs, but he did it. Zacchaeus was too short, but he did it. Hey, Timothy had ulcers, but he did it. Paul was too religious, but he did it. Hey, Lazarus was dead, but he did it. Hey, God can use them. He can use you. Amen. Won't you just get involved and I come and get sold out, dedicated. Oh, God, I want to give him my all. Jesus is coming. Amen. Get involved in the cause. Pastor, you come, we'll stay. Lord, bless your word, we pray. Thank you for letting me preach one more time. God, honor your word. Help us to get involved
and the greatest cause in all the world. Thank you for these young people singing tonight. Bless my heart. Oh, God, stir them up, Lord. Give them fire in their soul. God, that's what it's going to take to change this country, is our young people being fired up for the glory of God. Help the pastor now. Bless the invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. You come back.
He's bowed down.